Let's turn in God's Word to Luke chapter 13. And if you'll notice, the title is rather a shocking title. I think different ones wanted us to maybe change it to put, instead of manure and renewal, fertilizer and renewal. Something that was a little bit less earthy and shocking, maybe. But we will talk a little bit about that and how sometimes it's good for us to have something that's a little bit uncomfortable for us as a title this morning. So as we look at this from Luke 13, let's hear these words first from the first verses there. Jesus speaking, he says, "Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices." Jesus answered, "Do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, not or no, but unless you repent, you will all perish." Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that you would help us to hear this word this morning from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we've had this great privilege of coming to the Lord's table, as we have remembered the sufferings of Christ on our behalf, as we have confessed our sins, as we've looked out of ourselves and saw the beauty of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we pray that you would bring us to action and to that which will be profitable for our daily lives. We ask now for your guidance and blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'll notice, this passage has before us a parable. Sometimes we've called it the story of manure. We've called it sometimes something of a wonderful story of how God revives a tree. Real life, it has to do with that. I want to put it as Jesus does with these very shocking terms, because I believe sometimes theologically we can talk about the hypostatic union of the two natures of Christ, divine and human. We can write and read great books about these things and the wonder and awe of how can it all be. But there is a way in which Jesus speaks that's so much directly to us in our everyday lives. This parable that's set before us is one like that. Hear his parable. He says, verse 6, he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down, chop it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it," or as the ESV would have it, "dig manure into it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." What I believe we have before us is Jesus speaking, and he is the one who we don't just define with theological terminology, hypostatic unions and all these great theological terms. I am not saying those can't be important things to study, but we don't define him. He is the one who was the Word, and he is the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. So when we come to this parable, yes, there is a certain sense in which it fits into a context, of Jesus traveling through Samaria, and with all the problems that were going on of a tower falling on people and killing them, and other atrocities that were going on, and it wasn't that these people were worse sinners than others. But I would start with this very thing for us as Christians, and that is following Jesus is not smooth sailing. As you look at this, there's things that are all through our lives that are not just nice, smooth sailing. We live in a culture, a world that says, take a pill and it'll take care of your problem. Now, if we listen very often to those commercials that about the pharmaceutical drugs, and if there's a CEO here that I'm offending, I'm sorry, but when you listen to what comes after, take this and everything's going to be fine, and it just looks beautiful on the screen, and then they say kind of quickly, but you could also have suicidal tendencies, you could also get tuberculosis, you could also be this and this and this and this, and suddenly you feel like, I'm not sure I want to have that inside my house. But we live in a world that says, take this pill and life is going to be good. Just a quick fix. Whatever your problem, here's the fix. And we want it right now. There's a sense in which the world solves problems by destroying, so to speak, the problem. How does the world solve something? Here's war. Bomb it into smithereens. Destroy it completely. We have the element of the passage has something of violence here. It says, chop it down. Destroy it. Do it in. And yet, if you remember, Jesus' whole way of approaching things was not that of destroy. As we have his dealing with things, you remember Peter, when they came to arrest Jesus, he pulls out his sword and, in fact, chops off an ear. He's ready to go. And Jesus says, put it back. Or we have that whole background of when Jesus speaks of how he's going to suffer and die and what's going to happen to him really on a cross. The reality is, Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. His way was not of chop it off, destroy it. There was a very different element about this man. So when we get to this passage, he's saying about the tree, let it alone. How often, when we think of our problem, we want to amputate whatever it is, destroy it, get rid of it. We have that almost as part of our world that we live in. I remember a man, actually, Warren and his wife, Mary. They lived just across the street here for many years. They're both with the Lord now. I remember how in the afternoons I'd go over to see them. And for, I would say at least a year and a half or maybe a little more, the doctors had told her that she needed to amputate her leg. And I remember how he had a certain joy with her beauty, as only someone in 85 years old plus, a beauty that someone can have, and a beauty that two can have as married, and the beauty of that oneness together. And that man, every day, twice a day, changing that bandage of that wound on her leg where they said it would never heal. And somehow or another, he kept adding his love, his watchfulness, his care. And it arrived to that point that the doctors were just amazed. This thing is healing. It finally just kept shrinking down little by little. And what was supposed to be an impossible thing, only amputation could take care of it. Warren, his loving care, made the difference. I remember that because how often we have the other direction, amputate. And it has to do with divorce. It has to do with relationships. Something's not working out. Someone's taking up my space. Then it's cut it down. Chop it off. Jesus is here. in Samaria, in the Gentile world. And as he's traveling through this, he gives us this parable, and certainly following Jesus in Samaria, in this Gentile land, is not smooth sailing. And there are going to be fig trees in your life, in mine, that won't have figs. There's realities there that are very real. We somehow or another, we just so enjoy to have parades and a 1,000-man march or a 1,000,000-man march or something really great, and we can all be part of this, and cartwheels are going about, and this is the triumph of Christianity. But following Jesus is not smooth sailing. Secondly, from this passage, and I think it's important for us to see, that is that spreading manure that's talked about in this passage is not a quick fix. Most of those problems that people want to amputate, chop down, cut off, Jesus is saying, wait, trust, dig down deeper, spread some manure. Now, again, one of the reasons I didn't want to use the word fertilizer in this title is because, and though some translations use it, the ESV has it as manure, and I think that's the background of the Greek word. It really does have an element of enzymes and stuff in it. It's not just chemicals, fertilizer. It's the real stuff. There's something about it that smells. There's something about it that's alive. It's not just chemicals. It has some baggage with it. It's not a completely new thing. It's, you know, what we do too often is we got to have a completely new house, a new wife, a new husband, new kids. If we could get rid of those that are the duds, that have baggage, they smell. They've got problems. They're not what we thought we were getting. Let's have all new. Let's start again. Amputate, chop it down. But what Jesus is saying, to spread this manure and dig down takes time. It's not something you can do real quickly. It's more like the Psalms. If you read the Psalms on a daily basis, you'll see something that they are very time-oriented. There's a trust of the Lord, waiting for the Lord as watchmen wait for the morning. Each part of Psalm 136, as you go through the history of salvation, each place, but the love of the Lord endures forever. But the love of the Lord endures forever. There is this ongoing process that is there. Our temptation, my temptation, is impatience. We might use a bigger word, impetuosity. We want to do something that's action. Chop it down. Get rid of it. Amputate. Get it all new. But this passage is calling for us to not be in a hurry. The Lord is not in a hurry. He is the one who has things according to His wonderful plan. And He is at work. The Lord is not in a hurry. Yes, that manure must be spread. It must be worked into life. There is praying. The Lord is not slow, but He is not willing that any should perish. He has a purpose in all these things. The circumstances have a purpose. It has a purpose for our lives, who we are, where we live. He's saying, don't go for the quick fix. But then one more element from this brief parable story of manure. And that is, the English Standard Version says, dig around it, put on manure. He's saying quick fixes are not what are called for, but to wait and have patience in the Lord, those enzymes and microorganisms that are in the manure have a purpose into our lives. That's where renewal comes from, revival, resurrection, life. There's an interesting word here as we have this passage before us that I would like for you to notice carefully here. There's one word that's part of our memories as we read of the crucifixion. There's something that takes place on the crucifixion that has the same word that's in our passage. And so as you have your memory bank of this one word, I would ask you to look at Luke 13. And there in Luke 13, verse 8, we read this. He says, "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it." That word that is there, "leave it alone," is the same word we have when Christ is on the cross and he says, "Aphis, forgive them." They are the identical letters in the Greek language. Aphis. It's exactly just as he says, "leave the tree, forgive it." Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. There was forgiveness. There was this element of forgiveness. Now, the Romans, with Jesus, saw him taking up their space, chop him down. The Jews saw Jesus, yes, in that one sense, crowding out their teaching. He was not serving their purpose. So, crucify him, chop him down. Others cried out that, crucify him, because they were those who wanted a king who would destroy the Romans. It's again, destroy, amputate, chop down, cut off. Jesus is saying to us as his people, we have a different mission. We have one of taking the good news of Christ to people. We have one of the Lord's love endures forever. Whatever the difficulties are, it isn't destroy, but rather to bring that wonderful forgiveness in Christ to them. Notice when Jesus says, "office," when he says, "forgive, leave it alone," there aren't all those people gathered around saying, "oh, please forgive us. Oh, we did wrong. How we want your forgiveness." Without any preconditions, personally, he forgave them completely. They were those who, yes, if they come to have faith in Christ, they will have eternal life. They will have real joy and everlasting life in him. There is a sense in which that manure that's put down around the tree, the enzymes, the microorganisms, all of that, it brings resurrection, renewal to the tree. There is a working in life of amazing grace of God that comes with a real forgiveness. Not because we deserve it, not because we're sorrowful enough, not because we finally can just say, "oh, forgive me enough times." But because God in his amazing grace brings forgiveness. He invites us to himself with complete forgiveness. We'll sing a hymn in just a moment. "Grace unmeasured, vast and free, that knew me from eternity." We forgive others as the Lord has forgiven us. We forgive, we leave it alone. The unfruitful tree, the fig tree, had only one hope. It was going to be cut down, chopped down. But there was one who interceded for that tree. He was the vine dresser, we might call him. He interceded. The tree was not instant firewood because one said, no, don't chop it down. And I believe that man is Jesus. He is the one who comes and consumed with a passion of his love for us. He is the one who loves us and has given himself for us. So I would say to you this morning, if you're up to your neck in problems, you need to learn what that forgiveness really is. To leave it alone and forgive. No figs. Jesus prays for us that we will be those who will not chop down, amputate, cut off, destroy, but rather spread some manure. Yes, dig down deep and fertilize. Forgive them. This grace unmeasured is amazing what it can do and give renewal and life. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. It is, yes, wonderful. I put at the bottom of your page on the back of the bulletin this note from William Hendrickson, the great commentator of the New Testament. I had professors who would go and stay with him for a couple weeks in the summer when I was studying in seminary back in the 1970s. And they would come back and say they'd been at Boca Raton, Florida, what they call the commentary factory. And he has good, solid, great commentaries on most of the New Testament. But he has this little story there at the bottom of the page, and you can read it later, of his having a tree that he finally needed to do just that. And he got some 400 beautiful tangelos after doing that. I have a tree. A navel orange tree. I get 2 a year. This is the year we're going to dig around and spread some manure and we'll see. We may have to chop it down. Now, I tell you that because there is a line that God has drawn. Yes, there is this forgiveness. Leave it alone. God is patient. God is gracious. He is. But there is a line. If we live on with fruitless lives, there is a line. And God's judgment does come. I say to you, dig down deep. It's not a quick fix, but it is that which God has commanded us to enjoy, being renewed as we trust and wait upon the Lord. Let's pray together.